All right, let's go to our scripture reading here for today. And today we're going to go back to the book of James. And I'm going to go to chapter 5. And I am going to read, verses 7 through 11. James chapter 5, starting at verse number 7 through verse number 11. I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. I will have those words up here on the screen. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting at James chapter 5, verse number 7 through verse number 11. James, the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit, writes this. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And we'll stop there. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Father, today I just thank you for allowing me to be here to present this message here today. Today, Lord, we're going to talk about one of the fruit of the Spirit, and that would be patience. So, Lord, what is it that we as individuals need to learn about this thing that we call patience here today? So, Father, may we all learn something, and may we all grow from this message here this morning and what James is teaching us here in this scripture. To you be the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in our expository study in the book of James, and we are going through this book verse by verse, and this is our 26th week in the book of James. And I have titled today's message, Be Patient. Two words that he uses two times, once in verse number 7 and once again in verse number 8. If you haven't figured it out, today's message is going to be about patience. Patience. And for some reason, I believe that this message is probably for most of us here today, if not all of us here today. So what does it mean to be patient? Let's go to Webster and see how Webster defines the word patient. Patient, it's an adjective. And Webster says this, bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Now that we know the definition, I believe some of you are saying, you're right, Mike. I believe this message today is going to be for me. Because I find this difficult to do all the time. Well, so do I. So you're in good company. So let's all learn something here this morning. This morning, I want to look at patience from three different perspectives. Number one, patience in the immediate context of our scripture here this morning. Second way, patience in the general context of our scripture text. And then number three, the biblical mandate about patience concerning the believer. So first, let's talk about the immediate context of patience in these five verses here today. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse number 7. And I only have one word underlined in this verse, and that is the word therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore in a passage, you need to look at the text before that to see what the word therefore is there for. So let's add the verse in front of that, and let's see if we can get a better idea of the context of what James is saying. Let's add verse number 6. And James says this: "You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains." Last week, we studied verses 1 through 6 of James chapter 5, and we talked about these people that James referred to as these rich people who were cheating the laborers out of their pay, because these rich people wanted to store up treasures on earth. And I believe those laborers that James was referring to were the righteous brethren that he is speaking to right here. They were one and the same people. These brethren were the same ones who were being cheated out of what they deserved to be paid. And James is saying this: even though their wages have been withheld from them by greedy bosses, James tells them to be patient. Tells them to be patient. So our first fill-in-the-blank, we have three fill-in-the-blanks. No, we have a bunch of fill-in-the-blanks in the bulletin. But the first one says this: be patient with those who take advantage of you. Be patient of those who take advantage of you. The immediate context of patience is for these brethren who have been cheated. Guys, be patient. The Lord will deal with these people who are cheating you. Now, you might be sitting there thinking right now, well, wait a second, Mike, wait a second. James might be saying that, but here's my response to people who have cheated me. I want revenge, I want payback, and I want to get even. Well, we watch the movies, don't we, where the innocent get cheated, and we love to see them get back at the bad guys. Right? It's kind of, we love those revenge type movies. But God's word also defines and addresses that too. He says this in Romans 12, 19. The Apostle Paul writes, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." There are proper courses of action that can be taken in such situations, but we must remain patient throughout those situations. And I am convinced that God will bless those who are patient. Now, does that give us a license to say, "Lord, go get them"? Go get them. I don't think so. The Lord, vengeance will be his. Well, that's the immediate context of this passage. Now, let's talk about patience in the general context of this passage. And to do that, let's go to James chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. He writes this: "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." If we remember way back in James chapter 4, verse number 1, James mentions that there were quarrels and conflicts going on between and among the brethren. And he is saying here that these brethren need to quit complaining against one another. Imagine that. Church people complaining about other church people? Oh, that never happens, does it? Of course not. We've probably all done it. And we do it behind the backs of those people who we are complaining about. And James points out that the prophets of Israel, were also being complained about by those who did not want to hear what the prophets were saying. Don't say that stuff to me. We don't want to hear this. But it says that the prophets endured, and they endured with patience. And James is saying, so should you, brethren. You need to endure with patience too. And that goes for us. We must endure with patience too. The Apostle Paul writes about this exact same situation in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. And he says this, so as to those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and what? Patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I can't help noticing a similarity in what Paul is writing here to what James is writing back in his scripture. I'm going to put the same verse back up there and just underline a few more words. Paul is saying this, with patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint about anyone. Obviously, complaints with church people versus church people go all the way back to when church first started. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. James is just saying, and Paul is just saying, we need to approach these situations with patience. So let's compare that what James is writing to what James is writing back here in James 8 and 9. We had this up there before. James says this, be patient, do not complain, brethren, against one another. Paul says it, James says it. James is saying, guys, girls, church people, be patient with one another and quit complaining and quit quarreling against one another. But let's be honest. Not everyone does and says everything just the way we would like them to. Now, do they? And when they don't do things our way or according to our standards, we complain. Let's get back to James 5, 8, and 9 one more time. Different words underlined. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Let's throw in those words here. James has already addressed this. But what James is saying here is this, that if we have differences, if we have complaints against and with one another, we resolve our differences by biblical standards so that we do not get judged. We talked about this several weeks ago when we had the message, he who speaks against a brother. If we judge a brother, if we complain against a brother, we must judge according to biblical standards. And quite possibly, this complaining that was going on here that James is noticing was not being conducted in a very biblical fashion. So let's get back to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, what Paul writes. And he writes this. Again, I'm going to read the bold words right there. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. What Paul is saying here, it's pretty straightforward. If we have differences, complaints against one another, we resolve them with an attitude and a spirit of compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience, and even in a spirit of forgiveness. That is the biblical way that people like us can work out our differences. And yes, we all know we will have differences at some point in time. But let's face it, we are human beings. We still have the human condition. And doing things like this is difficult for us to do sometimes. But we know this, the Spirit must win those battles. So our second fill in the blank would say this. Be patient with other believers in which we have differences. Don't throw stuff at them. Don't do that. That's not a good thing. There are proper biblical courses of action that can be taken in such situations. And Paul is saying this, and James is saying this. We must remain patient throughout those situations. And I am convinced that God will bless those who are patient. Well, that was the general context of patience in this passage, having patience with other believers. Now, let's look at this biblical mandate that we have been given to be patient concerning us, the believers, in a very, very general sense. And I'm just going to throw just a couple different scenarios out there that you may be able to relate to. No doubt there are many things that can make each and every one of us impatient. Amen? Come on, church. Is there things out there that can make us impatient? Amen. Okay. We've already addressed other people can do that. Let me just throw a couple more at you that make me a little impatient. Slow service at fast food restaurants. Why do I got to use a kiosk when I go up to the counter and just tell the little girl what I want? It takes me 20 minutes to figure the kiosk out. I can have my order ordered in 30 seconds. Drivers who are not paying attention to traffic lights because they're sitting there on their cell phones. You with me, church? All right. I'm hearing a couple amens, and I'm seeing a few hands going up. Commercial breaks on TV, which seem to last forever. And will you ever get back to that TV series that you've been watching all day? Not too many hands going up, but a few fingers being pointed on that one. Will the contractors ever finish this job? Seems like... or show up. It seems like they have been here for months and they said it was going to be done in 5 days. The neighbor's dog that never quits barking. Well, that dog, I cannot enjoy my deck out back because as soon as I sit out there, that dog starts barking and the dog will not shut up. I'm waiting for that phone call for my medical test results, and I really need to know what the doctor has said. And then one last one I got here. Will the preacher ever finish? I'm getting hungry. My wife amen me on that one. It can be quite a list, and we all have our impatient hot buttons that will set us off. We all do. So in a general sense, what does the Bible teach us about being patient in all of these and other similar situations? Well, believe it or not, there are 19 books in the Bible, that's about 28% of them, which speak about patience, either the patience of God or the patience that believers should exhibit. And one verse that we're all familiar with is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And you might be thinking, well, Mike, is it okay if I'm good at 8 out of 9 of those? No, we need to be good at 9 out of 9 of those. The believer exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. These 9 are not optional. It's what we should do and what we should be. So let's look at 4 different proverbs here this morning. And let's see what the proverbs say about patience in the life of people like us, the believer. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Now, we got four more fill-in-the-blanks. Let's go to our next one. Next one would say this: a patient person does not display folly. What is folly? Webster defines folly as a lack of good sense, foolishness. Just think about our federal government. The neighbor's dog may bark constantly, but I better not go on out there and shoot it, okay? That would show a lack of good sense and foolishness. I must be patient. Let's look at another Proverbs, 15:18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Our next fill-in-the-blank would say this: a patient person does not stir up conflict. We all know that one person who just loves to stir the pot. They love conflict. They love to be argumentative. And that same person and people like them are the ones that we never invite over for Thanksgiving dinner, because we know what's going to happen around the table. If you say black, they say white. If you say good, they say evil. If you say sweet, they say bitter. The next proverb, 16:32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. The next fill in the blank is pretty straightforward. A patient person has self-control. As we know, both patience and self-control are fruit of the Spirit. That's two of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's easy to see how these two can easily go hand in hand. Let's get back to the fast food restaurant here for a second. If I have patience waiting for my fast food Big Mac that should have been out 20 minutes ago and still hasn't arrived, then I better have self-control and not strangle the clerk across the counter. They will go hand in hand. If you have patience waiting for your hamburger, have the self-control not to lash out at the people. And the last Proverbs, 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And our final fill-in-the-blank says this: a patient person has wisdom to always make the right choices. And with that, it is story time with Pastor Mike. I have said this story before, and I'm sure most of you have heard it, but you're going to hear it again. When my daughter was 14 years old, my daughter Carrie, she couldn't wait to learn how to drive a car. We had a 1994 Ford Escort station wagon stick shift. And quite often, Carrie would ask on a cold winter morning, "Dad, can I go on out and start your car and warm it up for you?" Of course you can, Carrie. Go on out and start the car. She would go on out there and start the car, and by the time I got out there, it was nice and warm for me to go to work. Our driveway is level, and at the end of our driveway, it goes down a hill, and then at the bottom of the hill is a chain link fence, and that's our neighbors live behind us. One day, Carrie asked me to go on out and start the car. Of course, Carrie, threw her the keys. She starts the car, and I hear it out there in the driveway warming up. Then all of a sudden, I hear my daughter yelling, "Oh no! Oh no!" And I look out my bedroom window, and there goes my car. And I run out the front door, and I get into the driveway, and by the time I see the driveway, I see my front bumper, and the car is going down the hill. It goes straight down the hill, wrecks into my neighbor's chain link fence. It bends the fence. It doesn't break, so the fence keeps the car from going any further. And I'm going down the hill, and my daughter is at the bottom of the hill, and she is 14 years old. She is just crying her eyes out, so worried about what Dad is going to do and say. Whatever words that I was going to speak to her at that moment would stay with her for the rest of her life. So what words would they be? So I walked up to my daughter and I put my arm around her and I said, "Carrie, it's okay. If this is the worst thing that happens to you today, you're going to have a very wonderful day. Cars can be fixed. Fences can be repaired. But people, what we say and do in a moment of impatience can last a lifetime in their life." And I knew one thing at that moment. Whatever I said, I can't take back. Praise the Lord that I said the right thing. And Carrie and I often talk about that moment to this day. The good news was there was minimal damage to my car. It was just a Ford anyways. A few scratches on the bumper. I got in the car, drove it back up, and Carrie went off to school and life continued on. There's a reward for all of us for being patient. And James mentions that in chapter 5, verse 11. "We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." James tells us that the prophets endured with patience. And James is telling these brethren, you need to endure with patience also. And let's carry that on to us here today. We need to persevere and we need to be patient too in those times when we can become very, very impatient because it's easy to do. Job went through the worst trials that any person could ever imagine. And if you want to know what they are, go back and read Job chapters 1 and 2. He lost virtually everything except a nagging wife who told him to curse God and die. But because of his endurance, his patience, he came out blessed at the end. Read Job chapter 42. I am convinced that the Lord will bless those people who are patient. And if we look back at those lists of the fruit of the Spirit, if we look at those nine things, I think the two that most people will struggle with the most is going to be patience and self-control. And for some reason, those two do kind of go hand in hand. But it says right here that when we are patient, that the Lord is going to be compassionate and he's going to be merciful to us. I need that in my life. And I think we all do too. Let's pray.